Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Matthew. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We continue with our study of the book of Matthew. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, is where we are today. And we're ready to begin with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now these two verses, one sentence in fact, are very important. We see that here Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that is the house of bread in Judea. Bethlehem is Hebrew for house of bread. Now it is some 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem, about 2,460 feet above sea level. It's known as the city of David. That means that was David's hometown. David's greater son, Jesus Christ, was born there, as we see here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Micah the prophet predicted this in chapter 5, 2 of Micah. In the New Testament, it's mentioned only in the Gospels and always in reference to Christ's birth. In AD 325, the mother of Emperor Constantine, Helena, built a church over some caves traditionally regarded as the birth site of Christ. And in the 6th century, Emperor Justinian I built on the same site a larger church, which is now called the Church of the Nativity. No archaeological remains from the first 3 centuries of the Christian era have been discovered, so today Bethlehem is primarily an Arab town. It's called Beit Lahm, with about 15,000 inhabitants, and it's in Palestinian control. If you want to visit Bethlehem, you'll have to go through the Palestinian checkpoints, the Israeli checkpoints, into the Palestinian checkpoints, and you'll have to pay an exorbitant fee to park your bus if you are riding in a bus, or park your car if you have a car. And everything is outrageously expensive for the U.S. tourist in the city of Bethlehem. That was not always so, of course, but it is, especially since it was turned over to the Palestinian Authority. But in this day, when Jesus was born there, it was at the time of Herod the king. And then we read that wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. When we were in the east, we saw the star. The star was in the west, by the way. And are come to worship him, they said. Well, now, this house of bread was the original city of Joseph's ancestors. According to Luke chapter 2, he and Mary traveled from Nazareth. Jesus was born in a stable after they had arrived. This King Herod that's mentioned in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He's mentioned as Herod the king in verse 1 as well. He was known by historians as Herod the Great. But why? He was not great to the Jewish people. In fact, he was Herod the pig to the Jewish people. He was the son of Antipater. He was an Edomite. He was from the line of Esau, not the line of Jacob. He was not Jewish. He became king by Roman decree in 43 BC, and he was known as great only because he was so loyal to the Romans, and it was the Romans who called him Herod the Great. He was known as a king because of the Romans, not because of the Jews. He had no right, no claim, no ability to think that he should even be in the court of the king of the Jews, much less be the king of the Jews. And so these wise men, who were from the priestly caste among the Persians and Babylonians, they were experts in the study of the stars, they were astronomers. Now, there are those with tradition who say there were three of them, but quite honestly, the scripture does not say that there were three, there were six, there were 12, there were 15, or there was one. However, we would expect that there were many, at least three, probably many more, that came in this caravan. There's no historical evidence one way or the other. Now, when the question is, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We see these wise men coming to the royal city, the city of Jerusalem, to see where the king is. And why would they not do that? Now, they've been following this special star, and this star was not some natural phenomenon because it led the wise men to Jerusalem, then it later led them to Bethlehem. So it almost, to a commentator, a believing commentator of the Bible, that this was a divine manifestation used of God to indicate the fact and the place of the Messiah's birth was not a natural phenomenon, but was something special and was supernatural. And so they came to Jerusalem. They were seeking for this new king. And if you want a king, you go to where they are. I want to talk a little bit more about Herod, but first let's go through some more scripture. We see that he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, that is the Messiah, should be born, the king of the Jews. Where should he be born? And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Well, before we get any further in the story, let's say that Herod was a liar. He didn't want to worship King Jesus. He wanted to destroy King Jesus. The scribes replied to the question, where is he born king of the Jews, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, because it was written there by Micah the prophet. And so these in the court of the king were inquired of by the king, and they gave him the correct answer. This is a desire to see a literal and complete fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy from Micah concerning the coming of the Messiah. That's found in Micah 5:2, by the way. The governor who will come from Bethlehem is none other than the child ruler predicted in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, Herod, or Herod the Great, if you will, was given authority over Palestine in the title of king in 37 to 4 BC. He won the favor of both the Romans and the Jews by carrying out lavish building projects. He built the city of Caesarea, the city of Samaria, the new temple in Jerusalem. He had 10 wives. He had a reputation that he deserved, of being cruel and unscrupulous and being a despot completely. He was terrible. Because of hatreds and ambitions for power among the families, because of Herod's consuming suspicion that someone might take over his throne and dethrone him, he executed one of his wives and his three oldest sons. Thus, the act of murdering all the young male children in the region of Bethlehem, trying to eliminate Jesus Christ, then it fits Herod's character. When Herod died, Rome divided his kingdom among three sons, Archelaus, Antipas the Tetrarch, and Philip. And we find that in Matthew 2:22, Matthew 14:1, and Luke 3:1. So he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and diligently search for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also." No, they heard what the king had to say, and they went to Bethlehem, but they didn't come back that way. Let's read the rest of the story. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt." Herod's fear of a rival ruler caused him to ask the question, "What time did you see the star?" When he slaughtered the children at Bethlehem from 2 years old and under, it was calculated, apparently, from the time that the wise men told him they had seen the star. The young child was spotted in a house, not in a stable, there in verse 11. This apparently means that they had changed their dwelling place from that of a temporary spot in a stable to a house. Most commentators tell us that Joseph was probably working in Bethlehem because there was probably much work for people who were craftsmen, in this case a carpenter. Since the wise men brought three gifts, that of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it's been assumed and made into a tradition that there were only three of them, but we don't know that, and we would think that probably there was a bigger caravan than three. They worshipped him. They recognized him as being God. That's why they worshipped him. They would not have worshipped a monarch. That was not what they did. But here they worshipped God. And then verse 15, "And was there," that is in Egypt, "until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." You see, it was all based upon what the wise men told him. "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now again, this is all part of what was spoken by the prophets. Do you notice it is again a fulfillment of God's word and God's plan and God's purpose and God's prophecy? This is what God had planned, and it came to fulfillment here. And this is what we find often in this book of Matthew, where Matthew is presenting Christ as king and showing that he fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. Now, this thing of being warned of God, it's a special divine revelation that was given both to the wise men and to Joseph in the form of a dream. Now, we don't live by dreams. We walk by faith and we live by the word of God. However, in this case, the dreams were on purpose and for purpose, and these were the dreams that were given that they might not have evil befall them or befall the Christ child. And so they were instructed to leave, and so the wise men didn't go back to Herod. Joseph and Mary fled with the baby into Egypt. Now, let's understand the situation. In Egypt, which was a society of great style, great pomp, great circumstance, even at that time, certainly not that of the pharaohs, but it was still a thriving society. In Egypt, there were a lot of Jews, especially in and around the city of Alexandria. And so they would go there, probably, to that city and to those people. It was their own kinsmen, and so they would go and be a part of that. Now, Herod died. Herod the Great died in 4 B.C. So our present calendar's off by about 6 years. So this would place the birth of Christ at 6 or 5 B.C. and Herod's death, recorded by Josephus in his Antiquities, would be something like 4 B.C., so that would be 1 or 2 years, maybe a few months after the killing of the babies. Josephus called Herod a man of great barbarity toward all men. Now, verse 18, Rachel weeping for her children, is found in Jeremiah 31:15. And the calamity of Israel's mourning at the time of the exile is correlated here to this renewed calamity brought on by Herod. His act of ruling is a direct result of that captivity. And Rachel refers to Benjamin's mother, who died outside Bethlehem. And you will recall that that's found in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 19. And so we find that Herod was dead. And when he was dead, he was succeeded by Archelaus, the son of his Samaritan wife, Malthus. Archelaus was a brutal man. He was as brutal, every bit as brutal as Herod the Great, as brutal as his father, Archelaus, was. Joseph was again warned in a dream not to go to Bethlehem, not to go under the rule of Archelaus. He returned to Nazareth. And he did not live. We have no thought, nothing in the scripture showing that he lived anywhere except Nazareth after that. The phrase that he shall be called a Nazarene is a reference to Christ coming from the city of Nazareth. It was not anything to do with the vow of a Nazarite. And that's an Old Testament vow that was carried over certainly in the time of Christ, because remember, Christ lived in the time of the Old Testament. The New Testament came with Christ's sacrifice on the cross at Calvary and his resurrection. And so he was not a Nazarite, was not of any vow of that sort. Now, Archelaus was given the most important district of his father's realm. That was Judea, Samaria, and Idumea. And since he was more wicked and cruel than his father, he had a hard time keeping his rule, and finally he was deposed by Rome. He ruled from about 4 BC to AD 6, and then his rule was over. And so we see then that Jesus was to live in Nazareth, and according to the prophets, indeed, he would be called a Nazarene.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.